Are you wanting more out of life? Do you feel like you are missing out on your dreams and life's passing you by? Are you drowning in debt? How about health challenges or relationship issues? Well, look no further. Your answers into obtaining a fulfilling life are right here, just by allowing space for love. Listen in as radio show host Lynn Owens, a renowned life coach and dynamic speaker, empowers men and women to create lives they love. Let the realization of your dreams become a reality. Welcome to Allowing Space for Love. Here's Lynn Owens.
Yep. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Allow Space for Love with Lynn. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in and for sharing this space with me. I am absolutely thrilled to have my special guest, my friend, an amazing life coach, Jennifer Hooper. It is my highest intention that this episode will help you expand your consciousness and expand and amplify your self-love. Today on this episode, Jennifer Hooper is going to share with us her amazing story of transformation, how she lived in a dwelling, left that dwelling, and manifested living there again. And the second time, listeners, it was even better than the first time. Remember, we are powerful, powerful beings. And so many times in our lives, we look at our situations, we look at our circumstances, we look at everything around us. But our reality is when we go within, and know that we have everything we need within us. The magic, the beauty, the manifestation begins to happen. And so without further ado, welcome Jennifer Hooper. Thank you for being my special guest. And Jennifer, I'm so glad to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure for me to be here as well. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Oh, likewise, my friend. So, Jennifer, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are.
Oh, sure. My profession is that I am a life coach. I work with women, in a nutshell, who want to worry less and live more. I do one-on-one coaching and just absolutely love what I do. I love watching my clients change who they are.
Wow, that's so juicy. Women, oh goodness, who want to live more. I like that. I like that. So, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about your story of transformation involving this home. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So it's an unusual story, most definitely. I had purchased a home, gosh, I want to say 15 years ago now. And I was married at the time. My husband and I bought the home. It was a fixer-upper, I'm not going to lie. It was about to be foreclosed on. It had been neglected for a very long time, but it was beautiful. I could tell the bones and the structure of the house was so good. And it was a three-story Victorian home. It had a turret and a wraparound porch. And I knew that in its heyday, it had been absolutely gorgeous. And so I wanted so deeply to renovate this home over time and turn it into a place where my children would grow up, where they would come back with their children, where we would have holiday parties and family reunions. And it was the place, it was my landing place after moving lots and lots of times in different areas of the country. This was where, this home was where I wanted to really be.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So that's the beginning part of the story. And then if you fast forward a number of years past that purchase date, during that time, my husband and I did begin to renovate. We repainted all of the rooms, and we added a kitchen renovation and really started making some changes. But then fast forward past that beginning, and my husband decided that he didn't want to be married anymore, which was devastating.
Wow. So you all are in this home, you've mm-hmm. begun the renovations process and you're painting, and now mm-hmm. you're about to embark upon a divorce. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, that's the short story. And I will also add into the story is that during the same year, during the same time period, my father was diagnosed with brain cancer. So it was a devastating time in our family's life. I spent a lot of time supporting my mom and my dad and taking him to appointments and things like that. And so then when my husband decided he wanted a divorce and he wanted to move out, it became a very long year of a whole lot of chaos and a whole lot of discomfort, shall we say.
Yeah.
And it wasn't it wasn't just the divorce and the diagnosis. It was like a house of cards that also fell after that. You know, my husband and I we had made some investments in real estate and some apartment buildings, and we had, in retrospect, overextended ourselves financially trying to improve those buildings to make them, you know, a good quality place to live for people. And in the chaos, we neglected the apartments and the tenants, and our financial situation was, you know, was fragile. And long story short is that we ended up having to file for bankruptcy, and my financial situation was further distressed because at the time I was also homeschooling my children and taking care of a young man for the state, a young man who just didn't have the ability to live on his own. And that was my income. That was my paycheck, so to speak, so that I could be home. But when my husband wanted to leave, so did this young man, because he just craved a father figure in his life. And he really didn't want to live in a home with a single woman and two daughters.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a very hard, hard time. And I tried really hard to stay in the house for as long as I could. But the truth is, I could not afford it. It was too much for my financial situation at the time.
Wow. So the young man that you're caring for moves on. Mm-hmm. So you're looking, you're seeking employment. You can't maintain, you can't stay in, you know, this home that you thought would be your forever home.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
Yeah. So at that point in my life, I was really trying very hard just to survive. And I wanted to keep my kids as stable as I could. So I wanted to keep them in the schools where they'd always gone, the friends that they knew. So I downsized. I moved a little bit of, you know, a few blocks away, but into a much, much smaller house, and just did the best I could in my new situation.
Okay. Okay. So in downsizing, do you mind sharing with our listeners? Tell us a little bit about the space you went into. I know this, what you thought would be your forever home was a beautiful space.
It really was. It just, it has so much potential, and I had a lot of devastation walking away from, you know, my dream. And the house that we that I was able to afford was very modest. It was a one-story, three-bedroom ranch that served the needs of my two children and me at the time, but it was not where my heart was. My heart was never in that house.
So your heart isn't in this house. Your father is enduring brain cancer. You're supporting your father. You're back at work, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on in your world.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. But, you know, I managed to just to survive, which is what we all have to do in those situations, right? And the dust settled a bit. And so I was able to stand and look around at my life and realize I was safe. I had a home. I had some money coming in, but I wasn't living the life that I really wanted. It was a life of survival. It was not a life with any kind of joy or fun or abundance. And it wasn't a life I wanted to live for the rest of my life.
Wow. So you really begin to get clear, you know, about your life and how you wanted your life to look, how you wanted it to feel. So when you began to get that clarity about, okay, this ain't it. I'm getting back, but this is not what I signed up for. How did you handle that?
Yeah, I realized that I had, you know, as devastating and unexpected as my divorce was and as unwanted as it was, I finally got to a place where, you know what? I actually have a blank slate and some opportunities. So if I want to create something exactly tailored for me with intention, what does that look like? I started asking myself a lot of questions and I just decided that there was more for me. There was more for me out there, even though I didn't know what it was, and even though I didn't know how I was going to get there, I just decided I have an opportunity right now. So I ended up kind of looking for people who could help me, like people online. And I will say that during this time, I also had gone through years of therapy, much needed to help me get through this trauma and get me through this difficult time. But I got to a point where I felt like I had outgrown it. Like I was stable. I wasn't in trauma anymore. And so I started looking elsewhere and ended up hiring a coach and learning a technique called scripting that I started to use in my life on a daily basis. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you want me to go into detail?
Exactly what you're talking about. But for our listeners, tell us a little bit more about scripting.
Yeah. So scripting, the way it was taught to me, is that you imagine your life, you imagine an ideal day in your life 5 years down the road. So not tomorrow, not next week, but who you want to grow into. And then think about, what does an ideal day look like? You know, when you wake up, where are you? Who are you with? How do you feel? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you touch? And really start envisioning the perfect day and the perfect life. And you keep writing about it day after day after day. And as you do that, you end up pulling in more details and you get more information and more clarity. Mm. So that day becomes very clear in your mind. You know where you're going and you end up basically growing into that person you want to become.
So Jennifer, as you were scripting, if you don't mind my asking, your ideal day, what were some of the things you were including in the scripting?
Well, I scripted a number of different days over a number of different months. And then I got inspired. This idea popped into my head. I wonder if I could ever live in that house again. I wonder what that would look like. Is that even possible? well, anything's possible. And so I started thinking about waking up there and putting my feet on the hardwood floor and feeling the ceiling fan blow a breeze on my face and walking down the stairs, and which one had the creak on it. And it was very easy for me to do because I knew the house. So I just started imagining waking up in the house again. But the part I forgot to mention was that the man who bought the house after I sold it was a contractor, and he renovated my home.
Wow.
Top to bottom, inside out. It wasn't a 20-year vision the way I had expected. He did it in a year. New roof, new two-car garage, paved driveway. What else? New heating system, insulation, new kitchen. Every detail in this house had been attended to. It had been fixed, rectified, is that a word? Upgraded. Everything was upgraded. I'll just leave it at that. And it was beautiful. And I knew because I had watched the process from the outside. And after it was renovated, the house went on the market and I was able to see pictures of the inside. Wow. So scripting it became quite easy. I knew what it looked like. I knew what it was like.
So you were scripting this home, and I'm sure scripting about this home evoked feelings of feeling good and joy and happiness and excitement.
Yeah, I was really tapping into the emotion and the vision that I had had for myself living there. And yeah. So, yes, I was happy. I was excited about my day. I had a business and I was working from home. I had no idea what the business was going to be. And I had no idea, you know, who my clients were going to be. But it was a lifestyle in a house that I wanted. And I wanted it deeply. And it felt really good.
So you had the clarity at first. And now you're beginning to align with living back in this home. In this renovated dream home of yours. Now, let me ask you, was scripting your only means of aligning, or were there other manifestation strategies or techniques that you also utilized?
Yeah, scripting was definitely the predominant, but I would also do things like drive by very slowly and look at the house and pretend to turn in the driveway as if I lived there. I would also park the car and go walking in the neighborhood, and I would walk by it. I would say hi to my old neighbors. I knew all the people who lived in the neighborhood and they knew me, and it felt very connected doing those things. So I would say, and then I would also look at the pictures that I had seen online and just look at, you know, what it looked like now on the inside. So there was a combination of scripting and pretending and visualizing.
So you were scripting, you were living as if, you know, as you drove by, I'm sure you were driving by in the energy of, I don't want to put words in your mouth, of, you know, what would this feel like? Or
it was more like, oh, I love my house so much. Oh my gosh, look at that shrub in bloom. It's gorgeous. I bet everyone in the neighborhood loves my house. I would just own it in my mind.
Yes. So how long did you do this?
I did this for months, I'm not going to lie. And, you know, scripting is a commitment, but it's not hard either. It just takes a little bit of time. I would do it every morning for, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes maybe.
Okay.
And eventually the holidays rolled around, and this is, let me think, in I guess 2015, 2016. Gosh. No, I guess 2016. And I thought, I'm going to write a letter to the current owners. And I very symbolically waited until January 1st of the you know, the first day of the new year of 2017. And I wrote a letter and I said, dear Mr. and Mrs., you know, blank, I once lived in your home and it was supposed to be my forever home. I hope it's your forever home, but if it isn't, if at some point you ever decide you need to leave or you're going to sell, I wonder if you might give me first right of refusal. Mm. And I signed my name and popped the letter in the mail and heard absolutely nothing for a long time.
So, Jennifer, let me ask you, as you heard absolutely nothing, did you continue to drive by? Did you lose faith?
You know, I kept doing all the things. I kept doing them. But I let go of getting a response. It was still like, oh, I wonder if someday I could live in that house and what would that look like? And so, you know, when I say I didn't hear anything for a long time, that's not actually true. I didn't hear anything during January, February, March, or April, but then in May of that same year, I got a phone call.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's really not a long period of time, because what I was doing, and I didn't know it at the time, I can only know it by looking in the rearview mirror, is that I was building momentum. The universe had my back and was making things happen, and I just didn't know it. And so I got a phone call, and the woman introduced herself, and she said, I got your letter, and this was supposed to be my or our forever home, but we're going to have to sell it to be closer to family down south. Is this house in your price range? And I'm like, yeah, I think I could make that work. And it was a bold-faced lie.
Okay.
That house was no longer in my price range. It was like a whole different house. And my motivation in that moment, in that phone call, wasn't to be deceptive, but I was very selfishly wanting to walk through it. I wanted to just be inside that house and see what it felt like. So we set up a meeting to go see it.
Okay.
Oh, so this is where it starts to get even juicier.
Okay.
So I assembled my little posse, which was my mom and my dear friend. And so we went and we toured the house together. And I just fell in love with it all over again. And at the same time, all of these memories just came flooding back. Of when, you know, my kids were drawing and coloring on the dining room table, or when, you know, Emma, when she was little, she just, hope this story's okay, but she was at the top of the staircase and she was sick and she tossed her cookies down the middle. It was like you went up the stairs to a landing and then you turned and you went up another set of stairs, and from the top she hit every single stair in the middle.
Wow.
And so that memory just came back to me, and then the bathroom door had a door knocker on it that was a lobster, because I live in Maine and lobsters are kind of you know, a symbol of our state, and the lobster door knocker was still there. And I was like, oh my gosh, if that's not a sign, I don't know what is. So it felt so good, and we had such a strong connection to these people. They were lovely and very inviting, and I shared what I knew about the house. They didn't know about the back staircase that had been, you know, hidden off, and just different things here and there that they didn't have an awareness of, but I had known. So I had that dream come true of seeing the house, and then I left with my mom and my friend. And what I will also say is that, you know, during this time period, my father did pass, and I will say the time period that I didn't live in the house, you know.
Okay.
So my mother was living alone in a big house by herself. And so I just kind of threw out there, I'm like, hey, mom, would you ever want to co-invest in this property? And I couldn't believe it. And she said, you know, I could get behind that. And I was like, what? And so getting back to momentum, what I want to say is that from the day we toured the house to the day we closed on it, because we did buy it, that time period included my mother putting her house on the market, my mother getting a full price house on her home, and closing.
Your mother got a full price offer on her home.
In the first weekend it was on the market.
Okay.
Yep. To the time we packed up and we got the moving truck and we unloaded and we got the keys. From the time I got the phone call, all of those things happened and we walked in the door, it was 44 days.
Wow.
It was so fast. Like, it was so slow to be so fast, if that makes any sense. Like, the scripting took months and months, but the actual event was quick.
Oh, Jennifer, thank you for sharing this story and providing the listeners with the motivation and with your story to empower and provide hope and a tool, because scripting is a tool to help people manifest and align with their dreams and desires. It's one of many tools.
Yes, so it absolutely is. And I've realized other scripts since I've gotten the house. So it really is a technique that works. And I have been using it. You know what? I will say this. There was a period of time where I stopped using it, and now I'm right back at it again because it is so useful.
Absolutely. Well, I will tell you, I script each and every day. And for me, it's just one of my daily habits.
Mm-hmm.
I do every day. Well, Jennifer, thank you for sharing your story with the listeners today. And as we are closing, I want our listeners to know how to get in contact with you, how they can be supported by you, and exactly what Jennifer Hooper has to offer to the women of the world, because she's some juicy stuff, girl.
Thanks so much, Lynn. I have, as I mentioned, I am a life coach. I help women who really want to worry less about their life, whatever that means to them. Different people worry about different things, relationships, financial situations, work, career, whatever it is. Women who want to worry less and live more, just step into the life that they want to live. And, you know, I, as you just heard from my story, I've done this work. I'm always doing this work. And so I love leading other women to do the same. My website is jennifer-hooper.com. And the dash is a hyphen, not an underscore. And I have two programs, one I call for toe dippers and one for hell yesers. So people who are not really familiar with life coaching and what that looks like, but kind of want to try it, I have a 4-week program that they can get started and get to know me and what this is all about. And then for the hell yesers who are ready to shift something in their life in a big way, I call that that one-on-one program Live More. I'm sorry, Worry Less, Live More. And it's just the continuation of those first 4 weeks. So you can either purchase them separately or all together. Either way is fine.
Well, Jennifer, thank you for being with me today. Thank you for sharing your story. I know our listeners will be totally inspired and motivated. And listeners, if you are not scripting, start scripting, because scripting works.
And scripting works. That's the motto of this episode.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Allow Space for Love. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to Allowing Space for Love with your host, Lynn Owens. We will be back next week with another great show. For more information on how Lynn can help you on a personal basis, please visit www.allowspacenow.com. Have a great week.